Our scripture reading tonight comes from John chapter 14. This is the last in our series for Lent from John 14. Tonight we'll be reading verses 25 through 27. John 14, beginning with verse 25. "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's pray. Lord, these are the words that you spoke to your disciples so many years ago. And yet, Lord, these words are still true because you still have disciples. So we ask, Lord, that you would make these words ring in our ears and resound in our hearts, and that we might truly have your peace. Amen. When we began our Lent series 4 weeks ago, we began by talking about goodbyes and about all the different kinds of goodbyes there are. And when we were doing that, we focused on one particular kind of goodbye, the troubling kind, the "I don't know what I'm going to do without you" kind of goodbye, the kind of goodbye where neither party really wants to see a separation, but they know that it's necessary for the greater good. There's something in their lives, some trouble or problem that needs to be solved. And the only way that that problem can be solved if one of the parties in this relationship goes away to take care of that problem and leaves the ones that they love at home. There must be a time of separation if the trouble is going to be solved. And since separation is so difficult for people who really love one another, these kinds of goodbyes are long, and they're very emotional, and they reveal what's at the heart of a relationship, those things that are the most important to those people can be seen in these scenes of these long and painful goodbyes. At that time, I mentioned that this passage here in John 14 is part of one of those kinds of goodbyes. It's a very long goodbye. It's a goodbye between people who love each other deeply. But there's a problem. There's a problem in the lives of those people in this relationship that needs to be solved. And the only way that that problem is going to be resolved is if one of the people, one of the parties in this relationship, goes away for a time and takes care of that problem. There has to be separation before the problem can be solved. And the problem is that Jesus' disciples need a home. Jesus doesn't mean that they need a roof over their heads, some kind of shelter. It's much more serious than that. They need a place of belonging. They need a place of rest, a place of safety and security, a place where they will go and feel that tenderness and that nurture and that safety of home. Because the world isn't home to them anymore. All of the things that they used to find so common and ordinary and a part of their life and their home don't seem that way anymore. The things in this world look different to them than they used to, because Jesus has changed them. The things in this world that they used to call home, the things that meant home to them, now look much different to them. They're threatening. And so they need a home. They need a place of belonging. That's the problem, because the world is becoming increasingly hostile to them. The world hates Jesus. And they know that the world is going to hate them too, because they bear his name. But in order for the problem to be solved, they must part for a time. And so John 14 is part of this long goodbye where Jesus says goodbye to his disciples for a time so that he can go away and fix the problem. And because we too are his disciples, this goodbye includes us. This goodbye for a time was not only for the 12 disciples that were there with him, but for all of his disciples, all of his followers, who would be left here while he is away. So picture yourself there with him as he's saying goodbye, because you are there. You're his disciple. You're his follower. You are one that trusts in him. And so this goodbye message is for you as much as it was for Peter or James or John. One of the most powerful points of these long goodbyes is that oftentimes there is a gift given. Oftentimes, usually near the end of this long goodbye, the person who's going away will give a gift to the people that he is leaving. And you see this quite often in couples when they have to separate for a time, when they love each other very much. The one who's going away takes a special gift and gives it to the person that they're leaving, and they say, "Don't forget me." Every time you look at this, remember me. There's a gift given. And the gift plays a very important role in that time of separation. Because that gift reminds those who have been left behind of the presence of that person that's gone. It reminds those left behind of the person that they love so much. And because the gift plays such an important role, the choosing of the gift is very important. It has to be just the right thing. It has to remind those left behind of the person that went away, but not simply because it was given by that person. It needs to remind those who have been left behind of the person who's gone away, because the gift itself needs to capture the essence of the person who's gone. So that any time those who are left behind see that gift, or use that gift, or reflect on that gift, they can't help but reflect on the one who has left. They remember that person because of the gift, and then their love for that person is rekindled. They remember all of the things that they used to talk about, all of the things they used to do, and their love is rekindled. And as Jesus is preparing to go away to take care of the problem, to solve the problem for his disciples, the gift that he gives as he's about to leave is peace. Now, there are three quick things that I want to talk about as far as this gift is concerned tonight. First of all, the source of the gift. Secondly, the nature of the gift. And then the necessity of the gift. First, the source of the gift. Jesus says in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." One of my favorite television shows is the Antiques Roadshow. And one of the most exciting things about the Antiques Roadshow, probably the only exciting thing about the Antiques Roadshow, is when someone brings in something that's an original, something that was made by a master. Lots of people can bring in old violins, but very few will bring in a Stradivarius. Lots of people can bring in old oil paintings, but very few can bring in a Van Gogh. And fewer still can bring in a Da Vinci. Ordinary things are common. The world abounds with ordinary things, and they're worth very little. But originals made by the masters are priceless. They're priceless. The peace that Jesus gives us is an original. It stands far above anything that this world would say passes for peace, because it comes from the only one who can give peace. After all, he is the Prince of Peace. And so if you want peace, if you want genuine peace, if you want the real thing, you have to go to Jesus. He's the only one who has it. He's the only one that has real peace, valuable peace, priceless peace. Only Jesus has it. So this gift Jesus gives his disciples, the gift that he gives us, is an original. It's priceless. You can't duplicate it. You can't forge it. It's an original. It comes directly from the Master. And that brings us to the nature of the gift. Jesus continues in verse 27 when he says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." The world promises many things. The world would offer us many things. And yet with the world, though it promises to give us much, it always takes more than it gives. It always takes far more than it gives. There's always a price to be paid for what the world would give us. The world would promise us peace. Peace, for example, through material possessions, through abundance. And yet those who have an abundance of material possessions never get to peace because they have to spend all of their time trying to hold on to it. When I was, the summer before I went to college, I worked at an auto parts store. And one day as I was working behind the counter, two very prominent men from town were in there at the counter waiting for parts. And as they stood there waiting, they were having a private conversation, kind of soft. But because I was doing some work there by the counter, I heard what they were saying. And these men were very successful in the eyes of the world. Both of them were successful business people who had started their businesses from ground zero and built them up. And yet as they were standing there having a private conversation, in a moment of honesty, they weren't talking about how they had the world by the tail or how much peace they had in their lives. What they were talking about was that the businesses that they had spent their lives building, somewhere along the line, became their master. I still remember so clearly the one man, as he was leaning on the counter and the man was standing next to him, he said, with hardly even turning his head toward the other man, he said, "Sometimes I feel as though I've created a monster." The company that he had spent his whole life building so that he could rest in it only took more and more and more of him. It gave some, but it took a lot more of him. The larger he built it, the more it required of him. The world gives, but it takes much more. And so, when the world offers peace, that peace always resides somewhere on the horizon, while anxiety is always right under your feet. With the world, peace is always on the horizon. You never get there. With the world, peace is a promise, but it's never more than a promise, because the peace that the world offers you always rests on you. Have you ever tried to lean against something that kept moving away from you? Or sit on something that wouldn't support all your weight? When you try to lean against something, when the when the foundation or the source of your rest has to be supported by yourself, it doesn't provide any rest. If you have to support the thing that's supposed to give you rest, then it can't give you rest. You can't really lean on it. You can't really sit on it because you have to spend your time holding it in place. Trying to get peace from the world is like trying to sleep in a hammock of which you are holding both ends. It's impossible. You can't lay down in it because you have to spend the whole time holding it. You can't hold it and make it firm and rest in it at the same time. And that's the peace of the world. But the gift of the Lord Jesus is much different than that. He doesn't give as the world gives. He gives freely. He gives completely. He gives his priceless peace to those who trust in him simply because they trusted him. And it's theirs forever. It doesn't depend on you. And because it doesn't depend on you, and it isn't held in place by you, you can rest in it. You can put all of your weight on it, and it will not be moved. His gift is priceless, and his gift is secure, but his gift is also necessary. Jesus completes verse 27 by saying, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus is under no illusions about the kind of life his disciples will lead while they are still in the world and yet not of the world. He knows that because they are his, because they bear his name, they will be a target. And the world will do whatever it can to trouble them. Whatever it can. It will seek to destroy them even as it sought to destroy Christ. And so it will plant doubts in their minds and hardships in their path. In short, the world will do whatever it can to stir up trouble in the hearts of those who love Christ, to take the peace away. And it will do all that because it hates Christ and any who follow him. But the reason that we need his peace is more than just for our own comfort level. It goes way to the heart of our deepest need. Prophet Isaiah says of Christ, he says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The reason Jesus came in the first place was to bring peace, because we needed it. Our sins had separated us from God and had given us a world of trouble and a world of pain without remedy, and we needed peace in the most desperate way. It was the punishment that he was going to endure for us, for our sins, which would bring us the peace. And so as he prepares to go and suffer that punishment, what does he leave us to remember him by but his peace? As he goes to the cross to solve our greatest problem, he provides for us our greatest need. Peace, priceless and secure. As we remember the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we celebrate the gift of peace. Peace that comes from his sacrifice. We celebrate the fact that all of our cares and all of our sorrows and all of our failures, all of our sins, are nailed to the cross, and we bear them no more. And while the world will continue to try to stir up trouble in our hearts, we hold on to the gift that He gave us before He left. The gift that so much identifies with Him. The gift that captures the essence of the one who's gone away for a time. We hold on to His peace, and as we do that, our hearts are calmed, even in the midst of trouble. And our love for Him is rekindled. As we reflect on His gift and remember all of the other things He said to us and His love for us shown in so many ways, our love for Him is rekindled by reflecting on the gift that He left. The message of His sacrifice, the message that His body shouts out from the cross, is the same message that He shouted out to the sea from the boat as it was in the midst of a terrible storm. Peace. Be still. Rest in His peace. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we love You. We see You in Your Son, in Your sacrifice. Father, grant us more of Your peace. Help us to reflect on it more clearly and to be more certain of it, that everything that needed to be done for our problem has already been done. And give us the joy that comes from Your genuine peace. In Jesus' name, amen.